wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. Hey, what up, girl? Grab my glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city.
Let's
before
go.
I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking pedicure on our toes, trying on all our clothes. Boys blowing up our phones.
Hello again, everybody. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to another edition of Buckshots. Today, we are looking at the year 2010. I have been looking forward to doing this one, and I hope you guys have been looking forward to it. Probably the most important year in the history of Gamecock football for several reasons, not the least of which, in 2010, the RubberChickensBlog.com made its debut on July the 29th. So, a very important year in the history of Gamecock sports for that reason, but even more so for the fact that we got a commitment from the number one running back in the country in February of that year, Marcus Lattimore. And you know, we were kind of at a crossroads with Coach Steve Spurrier at this point. We had had him for five, I think, very average seasons. He had recruited well, and we had had some good wins. We had beaten Florida. We had beaten Tennessee. We had beaten Georgia, had beaten Clemson. There were some good wins, but we never put together an entire season, never really challenged for an SEC East championship. And I think Gamecock fans and Steve Spurrier himself probably were expecting to take a step forward at this point. So 2010 was an important year heading in. A lot of people, including me, if you listen to the last one, I was already starting to think about who's the next head coach at South Carolina if things don't go well. So we opened up on a Thursday night against Southern Miss on ESPN. Now, at the same time, I was coaching a second grade football team. And on this Thursday night, we happened to have our first game of the year, and it started about 6 o'clock. I think the Southern Miss game started around 7:45. So I knew we would complete our game, but then I had about a 20 or 25 minute drive to get home. So I figured I would probably miss the first few minutes of the football game. So I pretty much stayed away from text messages or phone calls or stayed away from everybody on the sideline, didn't want to hear any updates. And our youth game finished, and I get to my car and I look at my phone, and it is just blown up with text messages, you know, back to about 6 o'clock. And as I read through this list, it was just, I went into complete panic mode, because those are the way the texts read to me. T-Bone and the G-Man telling me that Jerriel King was suspended, Wesley Saunders was suspended, Chris Culliver was suspended. There were rumors of mass suspensions, including Marcus Lattimore. I mean, there were just rumors flying everywhere. It turns out those, I believe, were the only three guys suspended. But I'm driving home, and I'm not texting. I'm reading texts. Is that still texting and driving? Well, anyway, I don't text and drive. But that night, I happened to be looking at my phone on the way home, trying to get an update. And the game got started, and we were playing a Southern Miss team that, quite honestly, we were a little worried about heading in. Larry Fedora had his hurry-up, no-huddle offense going, and Fedora, of course, who is the coach at North Carolina, who we'll be facing in about a week now. But we jumped on him pretty quick, 24-6 at the half, had a couple of touchdown runs by Marcus Lattimore. Lattimore finished 14 carries, 54 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Alshon Jeffrey had a big night, 7 catches, 106 yards. Steven Garcia had a great run in the first half where he put his head down at the 5-yard line, bounced off a couple of defenders, and ran in the end zone. Had another touchdown run later where he put his head down again, which we would find later on wasn't always the best idea for Mr. Garcia. So he had 2 touchdowns rushing as well. True freshman Connor Shaw had his first touchdown pass of his career to D.L. Moore. D.L. Moore had a few touchdowns in his career. So, and I'm going to be honest with you. After that first game, a lot of people were talking about Lattimore, and they were talking about him scoring his first couple of touchdowns and what a superstar. And I, you know, I was skeptical. I still didn't see anything in Lattimore on that first night that made me think he was going to be special. And I was one of the few people that felt that way, I guess, because there was a lot of praise for Lattimore for a 14 carry, 54 yard night. So he looked okay, but again, not great like I had expected. So game number two was against Georgia, and dang the luck. It was a noon game, and my second grade kids had a game at, it was around 12:30 or 1 o'clock. So again, I taped the game. I told everybody associated with our team, do not tell me scores. Do not let me know what's going on. And fortunately, we were playing at a stadium where there were only bleachers on one side, and we were on the opposite side, so I didn't hear fans talking about it or anything. And it was kind of funny. As soon as the game was over, I shook hands with everybody, got my wife, got my kid, got in the car, came home. No radio, no nothing, pull in the driveway, come in the house, close the blinds, lock everything down, you know, not looking at any phone, and I just turned the game on and start watching it. So I was probably, as you guys were watching the South Carolina-Georgia game, I was probably about an hour and a half behind. And at one point, it was probably about the third or fourth quarter, I saw my wife look down at her phone and smile, which gave me a sense of comfort. Later on, I asked her if she had seen the score, and she said yes. So anyway, back to the game. The game was amazing, and it was amazing for one reason, and it was a kid named Marcus Lattimore, who I was not impressed with the week before. He was maybe the best single-game rushing performance a South Carolina player has ever had. 37 carries, 182 yards, and two touchdowns. Steve Spurrier said, I didn't plan to give him the ball that much, but they couldn't stop him. And I just kept giving it to him until he had 37 carries. He had 29 broken tackles, and 127 of his 182 yards came after contact. A great quote from one of the writers at the AJC, Mark Bradley, in the next day's paper. He said, I've seen Herschel, I've seen Emmett, I've seen Bo, and now I've seen Marcus Lattimore. So just a tremendous game. He was the story of the game. Gamecocks win that one 17-6. Washaun Ely for Georgia had a fumble deep in South Carolina territory that could have gotten them back in the game, but gotten them a little closer. But for the most part, we dominated that game, and it was a great, great feeling to beat Georgia. And Marcus Lattimore was the talk of the country for the next week and the performance that he put on. The following week, we had a very lackluster performance against Furman. Go figure, a lackluster performance against a Division I AA team, or a FCS team, I guess it should be called now. We beat Furman 38-19, really too close for comfort. Lattimore, 19 carries, 97 yards. Alshon, 5 catches, 97 yards. But a guy named Adam Mims for Furman had 10 catches for 202 yards, including a 72-yard touchdown. And I just remember we could not stop that cat. And he kept Furman in the game, and they were, you know, within striking distance fairly late. So that was not a lot of fun. The next week we go to Auburn. Auburn has a quarterback named Cam Newton, and we would see Mr. Newton more than once in 2010. Auburn was coming off a 27-24 overtime victory over Clemson, where Clemson looked really good in that game. And that was the first time I could remember thinking that in a long time. And I hate to give Clemson any credit, but they looked really good against Auburn. They were running the ball well. They had they were fast-paced, and their offense looked crisp and sharp. But Cam Newton took over that game, like many games he took over during the course of that year, and Clemson missed a field goal in overtime to give Auburn the victory. So we go in and really played a good game in a very hostile environment. Auburn jumped out 7-0 on just a great, great Cam Newton run 54 yards to go up 7-0. South Carolina comes right back about 3 minutes later on an Alshon Jeffrey 30-yard touchdown pass from Steven Garcia. Added a Marcus Lattimore 1-yard touchdown run, and South Carolina was up 14-7 at the end of the first quarter. For you folks that remember this game, Marcus Lattimore was completely shut down, 14 carries for 33 yards. Auburn was determined because Lattimore had picked South Carolina over Auburn and had actually pulled out the Auburn hat at his commitment. They were not going to let Marcus Lattimore beat them, and he had one of the worst games of his career, one of the lowest yardage totals of his career. So we're up 14-7. Get a 6-yard touchdown pass from Garcia to Jeffrey in the second quarter. Just a beautiful play. Jeffrey jumps up, kind of twists his body, and just plucks the ball out of the air like he's grabbing a rebound, and we go up 20-7. And why did we go up 20-7? Because we missed an extra point. A theme that runs through South Carolina football, it seems like. Auburn comes back, get a 3-yard run from Newton right before the half, cut the lead to 20-14. Then they take the lead on another Newton touchdown run. He accounted for 5 touchdowns on this night, by the way. They're up 21-20. We scored a touchdown to go up 27-21 at about the 4-minute mark of the third quarter. And then Auburn scores a touchdown to go up 28-27 after a Steven Garcia fumble. And Garcia fumbled twice in the second half. That, I believe, both of those fumbles led to Auburn points. So with about 6.5 minutes left, Auburn scores another touchdown to extend their lead to 35-27. And it's at this point that true freshman Connor Shaw comes into the game. 6:23 to be exact. Now, Garcia had a good night, 15 out of 21, 235 yards, and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But after those 2 fumbles, Spurrier was frustrated, and he throws Shaw out there. And Shaw did not play poorly. He was 4 out of 8 for 70 yards. He did move us down the field twice, but both of those drives ended in interceptions. So the Gamecocks lose that one 35-27. Some quarterback controversy, but more of a Steve Spurrier, what were you thinking putting a true freshman in that situation in that game? So we're 3-1, and we've got number 1 ranked Alabama coming to town the following week. Now, I've tried to commit to memory what Alabama's streaks were. They had won 29 consecutive regular season games. They had won, I believe, 19 consecutive conference games and 9 consecutive games over top 25 opponents. So a very good Alabama team comes into Columbia, and I rewatched some of this game a few days ago, and it was a beautiful day. It was a 3:30 CBS game. So I was at home. I know a lot of you folks were there, but it was just the picture was just so – CBS does a great job with those afternoon games. The picture was just crisp, and I know a lot of you guys don't like Vern and Gary, but they kind of mean fall college football to me. So I don't mind listening to those guys, as idiotic as they can be at times. So we jumped out all over Alabama after they got a 3-0 a field goal to go up 3-0. We score 3 touchdowns. Steven Garcia did not throw an incompletion in the first half. We're up 21-3. Julio Jones catches a touchdown pass right before the half to make it 21-9 because they missed an extra point. Thank you very much. And then on the first play from scrimmage in the second half. Okay, we're up 21-9. Now, we have played great halves against really good teams before and then just imploded later in the game. More than one Florida game we've done that. I could probably go back through history and pull a few examples of what I'm talking about. So we were kind of prepared, as well as we had played in the first half, for something bad to happen. And sure enough, on the first play of the third quarter, Steven Garcia has a ball. It wasn't really snapped over his head. It was a ball that he could have handled. But T.J. Johnson fires the shotgun snaps back as hard as any center I've ever seen. So it goes through Garcia's hands, and he picks the ball up inside the five and doesn't make any attempt whatsoever to turn and see who's coming, to, you know, turn and try to throw the ball away, maybe run, you know, and save himself a safety. But he immediately grabs the ball and just slings it out of the end zone, hits the goalpost. I still don't understand it. A lot of people have defended him by saying, well, you know, it's better to do that than get hit and fumble and, you know, have Alabama score a touchdown. There wasn't anybody really that close to him. I thought there was a lot more he could have done with it. But anyway, there was that moment. That cuts the lead to 21-11. We have to kick the ball to Alabama. They get a couple of quick first downs, and we're thinking, wow, if Alabama scores here a touchdown, we could be in big trouble. But the defense tightened up, held Alabama to a field goal, which made it 21-14. And then we proceeded to go on one of the best drives you will ever see a South Carolina team execute. About an 8-minute drive that resulted in a Marcus Lattimore 1-yard touchdown run, and we're up 28-14 going into the fourth quarter. And again, Alabama strikes. First play of the fourth quarter, 51-yard pass from Greg McElroy to Darius Hanks to cut the lead to 28-21. Steven Garcia threw an interception on the next series that bounced off of Alshon Jeffrey, and Alabama drove. The defense held, and they were having trouble with their field goal kicking, so they attempted a fake field goal. They threw the ball to a backup tight end who dropped it. He was not going to get the first down anyway. And we drove down the field, and Marcus Lattimore scored on a 2-yard run to go up 35-21. And we had upset the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide, broken all of their winning streaks. Probably the biggest regular season win in South Carolina history. Maybe it's the biggest win in South Carolina history, period. I know that I still have it on my DVR, and I still go back and watch it every once in a while. It is a great game to watch and a lot of fun. So, I think I may have even written on the blog that What a great win this was, but the win meant nothing if we didn't go to Kentucky and build on it. So we go to Kentucky. We pounced on them early and often. Marcus Lattimore looked like an All-American. He had a 30-yard touchdown run. He had a 47-yard pass for a touchdown. He had a 10-yard touchdown run. We were throwing, running, just all over Kentucky and had a 28-10 halftime lead. And then I don't know when Lattimore got hurt. You know, one of the articles I was reading said he tweaked an ankle. I seem to remember it was a knee, just a sprained knee. But he was hurt and he was out for the rest of the game. And this started the narrative that our offense was completely lost without Lattimore in the game, and it was pretty hard to dispute because we couldn't move the ball in the second half. Meanwhile, Kentucky inched closer and closer, and then I believe on a fourth down with about a minute and a half left, I'm going to go back and look at the play-by-play here real quick if you'll bear with me. I think it was a fourth down. Somehow, Randall Cobb, the best player on the Kentucky football team, was wide open for a touchdown. Yeah, it was 4th and 7 from our 24-yard line. Mike Hartline hits him with a TD. Randall Cobb scores on the two-point conversion. Kentucky goes up 31-28. But we drive down into Kentucky territory, and we've at least got a shot at a field goal. We've got a 1st and 10 at the Kentucky 20-yard line. We called a timeout with 11 seconds left. We mismanaged the clock down there in some form or fashion. I don't exactly remember what happened. But we come out of the timeout, 1st and 10, and Steve Spurrier wants to take a shot at the end zone. He wants to win it. He does not want to leave it in the field goal kicker's hands. And Steven Garcia threw a pass to Lamar Scruggs. Still a little baffled, like I know you are, that Lamar Scruggs was the target. And pass was intercepted, and South Carolina loses to Kentucky 31-28. And I will link to the blog post I wrote, I think, the next day. And I remember thinking we could not have ruined that Alabama win more by going to Kentucky and losing to that team. And I thought at the time that that Alabama win would be forever tainted because I would always think of the Kentucky loss the following week. And I guess time has kind of healed that wound, because when I see highlights or when I think about that Alabama win, I no longer think of the Kentucky loss that we followed it up with. So tough loss. We go to Vanderbilt the next week, win just a slog through mud. No, it wasn't raining, but the game just felt like a slog through mud. Long Alshon Jeffrey touchdown, put that one away. We win it 21-7. Following week, we get Tennessee at home. We beat those guys 38-24. That was Tyler Bray's freshman year, I think, and he came in and got a lot of playing time. But the first pass he threw, if I remember correctly, was intercepted by Devin Taylor, who ran it back 24 yards for a touchdown. So Devin Taylor with an interception return for a touchdown. You know, Tennessee kept this game close. It was 24-24 in the fourth quarter, and we scored a couple of touchdowns to put it away. Big 70-yard pass from Garcia to Alshon. Denarius Moore for Tennessee just killed us. He was running wild in the secondary. 6 catches, 228 yards. Lattimore, big day. 29 carries, 184 yards. Garcia, 13-22 for 223. Alshon, 3-87, of course, with the 70-yard touchdown. So Arkansas, the following week at home, they hammered us. I just remember Nile Davis looking like Iron Man running all over us. That was a good Arkansas football team. And once again, thorn in our side. And we lost by 3 touchdowns, 41-20. To Arkansas. The next weekend, me, T-Bone, G-Man are down in Charleston. We're actually on Goat Island with our wives on a little fishing trip, little getaway, and we're playing at Florida for a shot at the SEC East title. That's right. We had lost 3 SEC games, but the SEC East was still up for grabs. It was down to us in Florida. And, it was tough to feel good about that. After the way we lost to Arkansas going down to Florida, Florida really had not played well all year. They were ranked 22 at the time. But you just knew it was going to be tough to go into the swamp and win. Florida scores on the opening kickoff. T-Bone and the G-Man are immediately down in the dumps, much like I was the previous year against Clemson. And I said, guys, remember C.J. Spiller. The same thing happened to us last year against Clemson. We can come back and win this thing. And when I'm the optimist, you know that there are some serious pessimists in the room. So, of course, we did come back and dominated that football game. Marcus Lattimore, maybe his best game as a Gamecock. It's right up there with the Georgia game. 40 carries, 212 yards, 3 touchdowns. We had a couple of touchdowns towards the end, one by Lattimore where he just drags guys across the goal line, and one by Steven Garcia where he runs over safety Will Hill. And we celebrated that night. First time, I remember with about 2 minutes left, G-Man was like, it's not over. And I said, man, this one is over. It is mathematically impossible for Florida to come back and win this game. And immediately I started thinking, I live in Atlanta. the SEC championship games in Atlanta. I hadn't even thought about tickets, so immediately I start texting, and before the night was over, I had my tickets to the SEC championship game. So fantastic win. 36-14 down in the swamp was our first ever win in the swamp. The next week against Troy, we destroyed Troy 69-24. I think we were up something like 56-6 or 7 at the half, which set up a matchup against Clemson, and it was scary. That was a scary game, thinking that, hey, we're going to the SEC championship game. If Clemson beats us, we're going to feel really bad about ourselves. But this was a 6-5 Clemson team. They were not that good. And once again, like the Florida game, Clemson jumped on us early. And what I remember about this game is there was a game before that on ESPN that ran a little bit long, so I had to start watching the South Carolina-Clemson game on my laptop on whatever it was at the time, ESPN. I think it was ESPN 360 is what it was called at the time. And Clemson gets a 45-yard touchdown pass to Nuke Hopkins early in the game to go up 7-0, and I'm thinking, ah, geez, here we go. Because I'm a South Carolina fan, and that's the way we think. We get a field goal and then a touchdown with a blocked extra point. It's kind of like the cherry on top for us. We're up 9-7 at the end of the first quarter. A beautiful 37-yard touchdown pass to Jeffrey from Garcia to go up 16-7 in the second. And a field goal made it 19-7. Scored another 10 points in the third quarter and cruised to a 29-7 victory over Clemson. Just a great finish to the season. And a couple of weeks later, we were playing Auburn once again, and Auburn had risen to number one in the country. Cam Newton was on the verge of winning the Heisman Trophy. Auburn was playing for a shot in the or for a place in the BCS National Championship game. I got to tell you, the week leading up to that game, I think because of the way we had performed at Auburn earlier in the year, we really thought we had a shot. And the week leading up to it, we went on Friday to the coaches' luncheon. My wife and I had tickets to the game. We go to the game, and just the pageantry around that game and walking around everywhere and seeing the South Carolina logo and walking into the Georgia Dome and seeing Carolina painted in one of the end zones was just – the whole week was just this great moment of pride as a Gamecock football fan, and I so desire to get back there like I know that you do. And the game started, and we played pretty well. And as we all know, the last play of the first half killed us. We're down 21-14. We're thinking we can go in down by a touchdown, regroup, and just fight them down to the wire in the second half. Cam Newton throws a Hail Mary. Auburn guy catches it. They're up 28-14, and they rolled from that point, beating us 56-17. I remember we left the stadium when it was 49-17, and I'm thinking, all right, 49-17 doesn't look that bad. And then when I heard Auburn scored another touchdown to make it 56, I was really depressed at that point on the ride home. So it was a great week leading up. It was a great game all the way up until halftime. And then pretty disappointing to have to listen to people talk about our 56-17 loss in the SEC championship game. So we accept a bid to the Chick-fil-A Bowl on New Year's Eve. I went to that game too. And we were on quite a losing streak with me attending South Carolina football games at this point. We were playing number 23 Florida State, another ACC squad. Marcus Lattimore gets knocked out of the game pretty early on a huge hit by Greg Reed. Clean hit. I think he split his lip open, maybe had a concussion. And when he went out, the offense didn't play well. We did rally. We cut the lead to 19-17 late. But Chris Thompson for Florida State, 25 carries, 147 yards. He gashed us. Alshon had a big night, 9 catches, 130 yards. We scored on a trick play a throwback pass from Ace Sanders to Steven Garcia, which was fun. We had a good time at the game, but it was tough to finish the season with two losses like that. But as we look back on the 2010 season, we talk about turning the corner. I think maybe this was the turn the corner season. At least it has been when you look at what we've done in 2011 and 2012. When you look at the seasons that Marcus Lattimore had, Alshon Jeffrey had, and I know on these things I focus a lot on the offense because I can go back and look at the stats, but that's really not fair to guys like Cliff Matthews and Stephon Gilmore and Devontae Holloman, and we've had some really good, solid defenses over the last few years as well, so I want to mention those guys. Fantastic year, extremely memorable year. And there will probably never be another one quite like it in South Carolina Gamecock history. First ever SEC East Championship. I think there's only two things better than that. One of them is the overall SEC Championship and then a national championship. So here's hoping we get there soon, Gamecock fans. That's going to wrap up our review of the 2010 season. Thank you for listening to another extra long version of Buckshots. Next time, we'll take a look at the year 2011. Have a good day. Have a good night. We'll talk to you soon. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No, oh, 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 oh. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No, oh, 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 oh. Ain't got a care in the world, but got plenty of beer. Ain't got no money in my pocket, but I'm already here. And now the dudes are lining up, cause they hear we got swagger. But we kick them to the curb unless they look like Mick Jagger. I'm talking about everybody getting crunk, crunk. Boys try to touch my junk, junk. Gonna smack him if he getting too drunk, drunk. Nah, nah, we go until they kick us out, out. The police shut us down, down. Police shut us down, down. Po, po, shut us down. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No, oh, oh, oh.
Walk in. Downstairs.